Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those that he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court.
As we've heard, today is really very significant for us. We've been here for 7 years as a church, and we moved here because we wanted space to grow. And in God's goodness, our church family has grown in different ways, and we praise God for that. Our last Sunday, the new build is nearly ready. And there's so much potential as we reimagine what it means to know Jesus and make him known, both today and for the future. And that is why the week of prayer. And we want to do that before anything else. The thing is, I would imagine that for most of us, if we're really honest, there are times when we just wonder, are we wasting time praying? I mean, it doesn't always feel like that is where the action is, does it? The action seems to be out there, I'm doing stuff. And we can have this mentality that perhaps prayer and prayer meetings particularly, they're for keen Christians. A kind of optional extra if you've got time. Rather than prayer being a way of life, maybe you just feel jaded because prayers have been unanswered. And just from living in a world that's unbelieving, cynical, it can rub off and we wonder if it makes any difference. When I was at school, my best friend was called Dennis, and when we got to sixth form, he got a beat-up old car, and we had some scary adventures in that car. One of the things was that fairly frequently, we ran out of petrol, and we'd drive to college about, 10 miles away, and on a dual carriageway, the car would chug to a stop. And we'd get out. He normally had petrol, but no funnel. His dad was a heavy smoker, and so we managed to kind of, there's normally fag packets in the car, so we managed to kind of make a funnel out of a fag packet and just about get enough petrol in to get to the next station. That was our experience. But look, here's the thing. You can no more run a car on empty from petrol than you can live the Christian life or do church life on empty with prayer, prayerless. See, prayer is the fuel. Prayer is the power. It's how we experience God. As we come to what will be a new season for us in some ways, of knowing Jesus and making him known, different opportunities, you do realize that this is mission impossible, knowing Jesus and making him known. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus Church is just a social club. That's all. Only God can change hearts, our hearts, that we know Jesus well, people around us, that we can make him known well. And Psalm 127 is going to help us with this morning. And this is an encouragement this morning, this psalm, to turn again to the one we desperately need, God himself. And find that his grace is in fact sufficient for us, weak, sinful people. Well, this is what's called a psalm of ascent. You can see that in the title. It was written for the temple worshippers as they went up to the temple in ancient Israel, and it was used in the temple worship there. It was written by King Solomon of Israel, 10th century BC. Here's the first thing just to observe in this psalm. Beware of the busy but wasted life. So first thing, beware of the busy but wasted life. So there in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Solomon's temple was a impressive, magnificent 7-year building project. It was a wonder of the world. Thousands of people worked on that project. But as Solomon looks at the temple, as he builds new things, he's going, only God. only God. Without God, it's in vain. It's like trying to build Babel. Remember Babel? People trying to make a name for themselves. It came to nothing. God confused it. That was about human glory, not God's glory. And it was as futile as trying to build sandcastles before an incoming tide. And then halfway through verse 1, the image changes. Did you notice that? And halfway through, we're on the walls of Jerusalem. We're wandering the walls with the security guards. And verse 1 says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. That same phrase, again, in vain. And Solomon's going there, Lord, we need you. We need you to watch over and to maintain what is there. Now, as we start a new season, moving to our new building, there'll be new ministries we might want to try. There'll be existing ministries we want to maintain, both building and watching over. But unless the Lord builds and unless the Lord watches over, all our busyness will be in vain. It will be like trying to drive a car on empty. It will chug to a stop. Now, Solomon's not promoting here laziness or sloppiness. Builders must build with all their might. Guards must watch with all diligence. Instead, he's warning, don't put your trust in what you do. Where's your trust today? As we think about this new season ahead in our new building, there's going to be gospel opportunities, new ways of knowing Jesus and making him known. But here's the thing, only God. And there'll be new ways to perhaps maintain and persevere in ongoing ministries in knowing Jesus and making him known. But again, only God. Because watching and building for God today is not, of course, primarily about a building project. It's about living a life that serves Jesus so that his rule is built and maintained in our lives, in our hearts and lives, and in other people's hearts and lives, in our church family, in the world around us. And that is a huge thing. If you're a Christian, that is what you signed up for when you became a Christian, to make Jesus known for this impossible mission. So in whose strength are we going to live this wonderful life of building God's eternal kingdom? And how we work and how we sleep, interestingly, helps us to answer that question about how are we going to go forward. Look at verse 2. In vain, same phrase again. In vain, you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. Solomon's saying, look, it's worthless burning the candle at both ends. Now, he's not condemning hard work or a day packed with activity, and some seasons of life are particularly busy. Neither is he encouraging continual early nights and lazy lay-ins. But instead, he's warning against a kind of hectic self-confidence in our activity. He's saying, workaholics, stop. Repent of living as though it all depends on you. That is to live in an unreal world, as though you can build new things for God. You can maintain existing things for God in your strength. It's a reality check going on here. For all your hard work, understand this phrase, unless the Lord, only God. And unless we get this, our days are going to be weary and our nights are going to get wrecked. Look at halfway through verse 2. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Ever had nights you can't sleep? When your mind is on overdrive, worrying. Ironically, I've found that recently, personally. I've been waking up ridiculously early and my mind's gone to 100 miles per hour. And it's kind of laying there as though it all depends on you rather than trusting God. Not really believing that unless the Lord builds and watches over, it's all in vain. Can I just caveat this? Many of you struggle with sleeplessness for all sorts of reasons, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. And it can be acute, it can be ongoing over years. And that's draining. The psalm's not talking about that. It's not bashing us. We've genuinely, there's a problem. It's talking about where we're not sleeping because we're not leaving things with God. And it's saying that there can be then a connection between our sleep and our trust in God. It's worth asking that question, isn't it? George Verwer was the founder of Operation Mobilization, an international mission agency, a very busy man. And he said this. This is slightly dated from his examples, but it's really helpful. He said, there are times when I have 100 letters on my desk, many of them about problems. Where should evangelism teams go? Where is the money going to support them? How should we find the vehicles to move teams and literature to their destination? I have learned from 1 Peter 5, verse 7, what to do with them. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Sometimes I say, Lord, those letters, those telegrams are all yours. I'm going to bed. And he comments, sleep is a wonderful blessing. We must not let worry rob us of it. That's what the psalm's talking about here. So how you work and how you sleep, it can reveal your heart. So how are you working? Is it a kind of an anxious toil? You're going about your day as though it all depends upon you. Or are you going, unless the Lord, only God? I'll do this with diligence. I'll work hard, but I'm going to trust. This is basically, it's about not taking responsibility for what only God can do. And how do you sleep? Is it badly because you're laying awake with the world on your shoulders? Or are you able to say, God, it's all yours. I give this to you. I'm going to sleep. That is often easier said than done. Let's pray that, though. Let's beware of a busy but wasted life. And let's move on. The second half of the psalm, I think, is the flip side of a busy but wasted life. So our second thing we see here is this. Live the fruitful and blessed life. Live the fruitful and blessed life. Look at verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So what's this saying? That to live fruitful, we have to have a large family. Well, context is really important here, and when this was written. So King Solomon gives children here as an example of a gift that we totally rely upon God for. And remember from our series on Abraham, this is in the DNA of building the kingdom of Israel. The wives of the founding fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all had children in miraculous circumstances. God promised to Abraham a great nation, and that nation was going to be built through the gift of many children. And through his family, the whole world will be blessed, particularly through one man. And many years later, he was born, King Jesus, whose miraculous virgin birth was God's greatest gift to the world, to us. And Jesus, the Son of God, talked about a different kind of blessed children. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again into God's family. It's a spiritual new birth, having a new heart. And I want to pause this morning and not take this for granted. Is that you? Have you been born again? If Jesus stood here this morning, he would say, you must be born again. Are you born again? young people. Many of you have grown up in a church family. Or maybe you're an adult and you're a religious person. Maybe here this morning you're not actually religious, you just find yourself here today. But to all of us, Jesus says, you must be born again. How does that happen? Well, it happens as we turn from our sin of living God's way. Sorry, living our way, and instead continuing against God. And we need to repent, we need to turn around and instead go God's way rather than our own way. And we then put our trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we trust him as our Savior. And we ask him to come into our life as our Lord so that we live under his good rule as he's given it in the Bible. And so we love what he says in the Bible and we want to obey him and serve him. That's how we get born again, is turning and trusting Christ, giving our lives to him. And people becoming Christians and growing in their faith, that is how God's family, God's kingdom is built today. It's what I think verses 3-5 is all about today. So when it says in verse 5 there about happy is the person who has his crib full of them, children, it's going, blessed, happy are the people who are used by God to birth and to grow spiritual children, Christians. Now, if we're to be used by God to build, verse 1, God's family, to bring about, see new birth happen, see people saved. And if we're to be used by God, verse 1, to watch over the family and help each other grow as Christians, it will be because we've understood this simple phrase, unless the Lord, only God. I want to just press this psalm a little further today for us to help us apply it to our lives. We need to feel the topsy-turvy nature of the kingdom of God here and the way this works and try and apply this. Look, here is the dynamic that's going on in this psalm. It's this. Weakness is the doorway to God's strength. I think that is the dynamic of the psalm. Weakness is the doorway to God's strength. Seeing without him, it's in vain, but with him, all things are possible. Let's try and land this in terms of our particular context this morning. So we're entering a season of what I imagine will be great opportunity, but also what I'm convinced will be great danger. You see, it'd be really, really easy for us to feel strong at this point, to feel proud at this point, to think we've built the house, we've labored, we did it, and we'll watch over the city, we'll stand guard, we'll do it. You know, after 10 years of planning and fundraising under God, our rebuild has happened. Praise God. And it is a wonderful new building. And it will attract attention. Maybe it'll attract new people. Praise God if it does. But we are not about filling a shiny new building. We're about knowing Jesus and making him known, about people being born again. And only God can do that. Only God. And we will be like driving the car on empty unless the Lord is in this. We'll be little more than a social club with a nice venue. There will be no spiritual power. There will be no eternal power to change lives for all eternity without the Lord. And that is what we need. See, here's the irony here. The weakest, who in their weakness cry out to God, are the strongest. The weakest, who in their weakness cry out to God, are the strongest. And yet, We like to feel strong. We like to feel together. And so very practically, this psalm is a call to prayer, because prayer is saying, and we're doing it right, prayer is saying, I am weak, you are strong. That is the posture of prayer, isn't it? Hopefully. I'm weak, God, you're strong. That's why I'm praying. That's why I'm talking to you. And so to avoid this busy but wasted life, to live this fruitful and blessed life, we need to see that our weakness, our felt need, is in fact the doorway to God's strength. So let's press this home with verse 1. So verse 1, firstly, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders are laboring, will labor in vain. Building the house, new birth happening, people becoming children of God, people becoming Christians. What if you realize how much of an only God thing that is? People coming to faith. And sure, God uses his people to share the gospel, and people come to faith. But the thing is as you do that, and you know if you've tried, you have no power to change someone's heart. That is a God thing. But do you see how desperate a situation people are in who don't have Jesus in their lives? Do you see that? Do you feel that? You know, we can look around and we can see the devastating impact of social deprivation in our world. But if we saw the state of people's souls, we would be horrified. Horrified. Walking down Godalming High Street, walking into your school, into your workplace, in your family, if you could see people's souls who aren't yet Christians, you would see people who are malnourished and gaunt and spiritually gasping like zombies, dead people walking around. If you're not a Christian, that is how God sees you. That's how the Bible describes you. You are dead in your sins. And so many are unaware of their desperate plight before God. In the UK, we are not facing a humanitarian crisis of epidemic proportions, but we're facing a spiritual crisis of epidemic proportions. And Jesus Church, our mission is to make Jesus known. And we need to know that is an impossible mission unless the Lord builds the house. Well, then it's possible. So look, every single idea we have, every effort we make to make Jesus known, only God. And that is why we need to go forward on our knees. That is why we've got our week of prayer. And then lastly, in verse 1, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So watching over the city is about spiritual growth in God's family, in believers, being part of that. And again, do you realize how much of an only God thing that is too? Your spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of us as a church family. It's true that God's given us, as his people, his spirit. We have new hearts to love and to serve him. That's a glorious thing. But I wonder if you've noticed personally how fierce the battle against your old sinful nature is. And there are times when you lose some of those battles, you fall into sin. Have you noticed how often you are attracted to the world around you and live for here and now, almost by default without thinking about it, and drift? Have you noticed how your enemy, the devil, is actually too powerful for you? And there are times when you give in to temptation, and you go his way. I was speaking to one of our members a while ago who's going through a difficult patch, and they said to me this: spiritually, I feel like I've lost the battle, and I'm cowering behind a shield. That's all I can do. I wonder if you ever feel like that. It feels rubbish when it's like that, doesn't it? But actually, it's not a bad place to be, because there's a place of total dependence. I remember that our weakness and seeing our weakness is the doorway to God's power. God is attracted to weakness. It's a doorway to his strength. So seeing unless the Lord, only God, so important. And then translating that into a praying life, it's saying, God, I am weak, but you're strong. And that is why we're having our week of prayer. If today, in this new season of opportunity to know Jesus and make him known as we move into our new venue, if we don't feel utterly overwhelmed at the impossibility of the task ahead of us, if we don't feel that impossibility, then we have simply not understood Jesus' mission. At Jesus Church, our mission is about new birth. It is about dead people being raised to life spiritually. And it is about spiritual growth. And boy, we have the world and the flesh and the devil against us in that. Only God. You see, Binscombe Church is not about just making people's lives nicer. It is about seeing dead people raised to life. It's about seeing sinners who are heading for hell being saved and going to heaven. That is what we're about. And that involves heart change. And only God can do that. But here's the glorious thing this morning. God can do that. And with God, all things are possible. I mean, is that true? Yeah, that is true, isn't it? With God, all things are possible. So can I urge you? Nothing matters more this week than what we do on our knees together. Try and make a prayer meeting or two. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, all of us. Let's get together. Let's come and pray. And who knows what God will do among us in the days ahead? Because when the Lord builds the house, well, then the builders don't labor in vain. And when the Lord watches over the city, well, then the guards, they don't stand guard in vain.